Good morning. Welcome to worship at First Baptist Church of Roswell. We are so glad that you have joined us. What a great day it is to be together in God's house for worship together as a church family. If you are a guest visiting with us today, we want to extend a special word of welcome to you. We are so glad that you have come and chosen to worship with us this morning. We would love to get to know you a little bit better. In the pew rack in front of you, you will find what we call a connection card. We would ask that you fill it out, place it in the offering plate as it comes by later, just so that we can have a little bit more information and make contact with you later this week, let you know how grateful we are that you came to worship with us. You'll see in your bulletin an announcement sheet with a lot of stuff, telling about a lot of stuff going on in the next couple of months. We are, after a few weeks of no Sunday school and all that, we are back in full swing with opportunities for everyone. Make sure you look at the Wednesday night card detailing all of the activities going on Wednesday nights this spring. Wednesday night dinners start back this Wednesday. We will have a New Year's worship service in the chapel at 6:30 p.m., and that is for everyone, children, youth, and adults. We're going to come together, we're going to have a little bit of fun, and we're going to commit the coming year to God as a church. On January 18th, all of our different elective classes are starting. So take a look at those options. Pick one that you think you'd like to attend, and we'd love to see you here on Wednesday nights in the coming spring. And now we enter into a time of worship. Nothing we do is more important than worshiping together. So let's focus our hearts and our minds on God. Come, let us worship together.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to see all of you here this morning. So when I was a teenager, way back in the 1990s, some of your parents were teenagers, we had these bracelets that were very popular, and they said WWJD. Now, that stood for What Would Jesus Do? And so whenever you looked at your bracelet, you thought about what would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? How should I act in this situation like Jesus would act? So the Bible tells us a lot about how Jesus acted. The Gospels tell us all about what Jesus did. And Paul, in the book of Philippians, also reminds us of how Jesus acted. So Jesus is God's Son, which means that Jesus is the only perfect person that has ever lived. So really, anything that Jesus did, Jesus was good at. And Jesus could have walked around and flaunted that he was God's Son and that he was perfect. He could have made everybody bow down to him because he was God's Son. But instead, Jesus was kind. Jesus fed other people. Jesus washed dirty feet. Jesus was loving. I know, yeah, that's not very pleasant, is it? It is gross. Jesus was loving to others. Jesus shows us how we should act. It is great when you can be the best at something. But instead of telling everybody how good you are, the Bible reminds us that we should act the way that Jesus did, that we should be kind and loving to others, that we should treat others as better than ourselves. We should think about what other people need too, instead of just what we need. And so this week, I hope that you will think about how Jesus acted. And maybe think WWJD, what would Jesus do? Think about how you can be kind and loving to all that you meet, because that was what Jesus did. Now, you don't have to wash your brother or sister's stinky feet, but you do need to be kind and loving. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for sending Jesus to show us your love and to show us how to live. Help us to act like Jesus. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Disciple. It's a word that we say at church quite a bit, but it's not a word that we will likely hear at work or at school this week. It's a word that would have been very familiar to the surrounding culture 2,000 years ago, but not nearly as much today. It's a word that Jesus used quite a bit, and it's still an important word for anyone who desires to follow him. So what is a disciple? How is a Christian supposed to actually engage in discipleship in the here and now? And what measures are there to help us know when we're actually doing it? This is something our staff and a number of lay leaders have been thinking about and discussing for a while now. And we're excited to let you know that we are hoping and planning for 2023 to be a year where we as a church focus on the concept of intentional discipleship. We'll talk about what it means to be a disciple. How can we know if we are actually growing in our faith? And is there a way to have a plan that will help each person follow a pathway of discipleship? You're going to be hearing more about this in the coming weeks and months, but for now, know that this will also be a central theme in our worship services for the foreseeable future. Starting today, Dr. Head is going to be walking us through a series on the Sermon on the Mount, which for centuries has been seen as a manual or a blueprint of discipleship. Our focus in worship today and in the future is going to be how we become the people and the church that God is calling us to be. So let us today continue to worship, and let us as a church take this next year to really focus on what it means to be disciples of Christ.
It's my privilege and joy this morning to give verbally a prayer for all of us. And I invite you to join me as we pray together as the body of Christ. Will you join me as we pray together? Our Father, we worship you today as the immortal, invisible God. And we're thankful today for the life of Christ, who came to live among us so that we might get a glimpse at the invisible God. We focus today on discipleship. We focus this year on discipleship. And we pray, oh God, that you would teach us, and not only that you would teach us, but that we would be teachable. Some of us are clueless about what it means to be a student of you. So we pray today for a renewing of our mind and the refreshing of our spirit and our soul as we think about followers of you. We need your help, O Lord, and we confess today that sometimes we act like we are clueless about what it means to be a disciple. We pray that we will be discerning and attentive to our words and our actions as we seek to follow you. Lord, I pray for the needs of your people this morning. Some we know about and are very obvious. Oh God, some of the needs go unspoken and have no words. I pray this morning for those whose hearts are heavy and whose grief has actually no words. I pray for those this morning, oh God, who are trying to find their way along the path of being a student of you. I pray that they might hear a word of grace and that you would give all of us a glimpse of what it means to have the mind of Christ in our attitudes, in our hearts, in our words, and in our behavior. Forgive us when we fall short, O God. And above all else, we pray today that you would help us to better understand what it means to be a loving person in this world when people's opinions and behaviors are so contrary to what we think and what we believe. We love you, Lord. Teach us today, and oh God, help us to be teachable. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The scripture reading for today, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Every meal. Please join me in the offertory prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, King of kings, Lord of lords, we come humbly before you and thank you for all the things that you have given us. It is our time today to return to you a portion of that love and that help that you have given us to strengthen this church that has been in this community for 150 years. We have your disciples on a plane at this very moment going to Kenya. We are a very mission-minded church, and we thank you for the support that you give us. We thank you for the monetary support, the physical support, and the mental support. Heavenly Father, guide and direct this church as we go forward in the year 2023, that we may be a guiding light to those in need. Heavenly Father, guide and direct all that we do every day, and everyone that gives, please bless the gift and the giver. In the holy name we pray, amen. Thank you.
How beautiful. Thank you so much, Patman and Gwen. What a beautiful message and music this morning. You've heard already from Logan earlier in the service today that we have for this year as a church a theme, a focus. It really becomes two words for us this year: intentional discipleship. In 2023, for First Baptist Roswell, our focus this year as a church is going to be spending time, as Logan shared with us, thinking about, exploring, studying, sharing with one another. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? We are all on a journey. We're all on this discipleship journey. We're in different places. We're moving at different speeds. But for all of us, this idea of discipleship becomes critical. No matter where we are on our journey, if we are traveling well and feeling good, we can ask the question, what does it mean to be a more faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? If we've stumbled, if we've fallen, if we're not traveling the way we'd like in our spiritual journey, we can ask the question, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? How can I strengthen my relationship? How can I deepen my walk with Christ? If I've paused on the journey and I'm sitting on the side of the spiritual road resting for a while, I can ask the question, what does it mean for me to be a disciple? Where do I find the energy once again to recommit myself to the task, to the journey that Christ has called me to? It's a wonderful focus for us this year, intentional discipleship. And as we think about that subject, that focus this year, as our attention turns to how can I strengthen my relationship with Christ, as Logan said earlier, in our worship services, our guide for the next several weeks will be the Sermon on the Mount. This morning, I invite you to hear our text for today. It is what we normally call the Beatitudes. It is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. 2 years ago, during the Lenten season of 2021, we focused on the Beatitudes, and we spent time during Lent on each one of the Beatitudes. This morning, our focus is different. Our focus this morning, the Beatitudes serve as our launching pad for the next several weeks of understanding and studying what does it mean to be a faithful follower of Christ. As we begin this study and focus together, I invite you to hear these words, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. As a minister and as someone who has spent much time in counseling, it is not uncommon for someone to show up at an office one day and say, "I just need to talk for a moment." and invite them to come in, and we sit down and I say, what brings you here today? And it is not uncommon for the person to say something like this: I am just not happy. I'm just not happy. What can I do to get my life back on track? What can I do to experience the kind of life that I know God wants me to experience? How can I be happy? Happiness is an interesting subject, isn't it? How many people do you know whom you would truly describe as happy? What really makes us happy? Maybe as we think about this concept of discipleship, we might even want to ask this morning, is that important to God? Does God want us to be happy? And if so, what does the Bible say about happiness? These are important questions for us to consider. I read this week, one person said, we live under the misconception that every person has the inalienable right to happiness. We believe, the person writes, that happiness should come automatically in life. It almost seems happiness is something that is owed to us, the person said. So, he continues, people walk through life laying their hands on everything they can and gather it to themselves and just experience existence, not happiness. And he ends with this sentence: for the only thing you find in life is existence. Happiness is something you have to create. What do you think about that statement? What do you think about these ideas about happiness and how it relates to the life of faith and discipleship? What did Jesus teach us about being happy and being a disciple? Actually, Jesus had a lot to say about happiness. I would say this morning to get us started. I believe Jesus intended his disciples to be the happiest people in life. But let's be clear. Jesus does not talk about happiness in the same way in which the world defines happiness. The Beatitudes that we read this morning make it very clear that when Jesus is talking about happiness, he's talking about something very different from what the world describes. He's referring to a perspective on living that makes life satisfying, that gives life a sense of purpose, in which we experience peace and contentment and meaning. In our scripture from the Sermon on the Mount this morning, Jesus talks directly and specifically about this kind of happiness and how it relates to the life of a disciple. Now, you may think as you look at this scripture passage, remembering what we read, that it doesn't really seem like Jesus is talking about happiness. The word that often appears in this text, at least in most of our versions of scripture, is not the word happy, it is the word blessed. But in Greek, it's interesting to note, the Greek word makarios is usually translated into English as blessed. But in our context for living today, it is probably better understood as happy or joyful, as we would think about those concepts. This word, makarios, it describes the kind of life we just mentioned, a life that is satisfying, a life that finds contentment, a life that is focused on meaning and purpose in life. So this morning, as we begin thinking about what it means to be a disciple, we look to the Beatitudes as our launching pad to begin to understand how that relates to the life of discipleship. This morning, as we read our text, there are 9 different Beatitudes in the 12 verses of Scripture that we read this morning. It would be very difficult for us to look at all 9 of those this morning. But Dr. Wayne Dehoney, one of my seminary professors when I was in school, he looked at these nine Beatitudes and categorized them into four different categories. So this morning, I want to invite you to think with me about these four categories of not only happiness, but also discipleship. The first is this: Jesus talks about the importance of humility. Jesus says, if we want to be his disciple, if we want to be happy and find meaning and purpose in life, we need to be humble. I invite you to remember the first three Beatitudes that we read. Happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are the meek. Jesus said, these are characteristics of my disciples. These are characteristics of people who live and experience a satisfying, meaningful life. I read one person this week said, we step down in a way from the high places in life, and by stepping down, we discover that we actually step up into the life that Jesus wants us to live. Isn't that exactly what the passage in Philippians was talking about that we read earlier in our service this morning? When Walencia read the passage in Philippians chapter 2 that is so familiar to us, what we realize is that's how Jesus experienced this idea of stepping down in order to experience the life that he had been called to live. When Jesus left heaven, Scripture says he did not consider that, he did not count his situation to be a loss, but instead, he became human as a way of living out his calling. The word humble actually comes from the Latin word humus, and it literally means ground. In other words, when you think about the idea of humility, it is certainly the opposite of pride. Humus, the Latin word, literally means being on the ground. Humility is what the Scripture says needs to take place for us to experience the life God has called us to live. Jesus says, happy people, my disciples, are not prideful. Instead, they wash dirty feet. They are servants. They are humble. Humility is the opposite of pride. It is the opposite of arrogance. Jesus was teaching his disciples who gather around him. He says, pride, arrogance says, look at me, look at my high position, look at my authority. But the only way, Jesus says, you understand the life I've called you to live is through humility. We as Christians need this humble approach to life. We need it in our homes. How many conflicts in our homes are rooted in pride? Someone's pride is threatened. Someone's pride is wounded. And conflict develops. Tensions rise. We need humility in the church. How many problems arise in church because of pride? There's an interesting passage in 3 John, verse 9, where John is writing about a situation in the church, and listen to what he says. He says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, did not receive us. John's writing to a church, and what he says is there are problems in the church because some people are more concerned about their role, their position, their prominence than being a servant. Jesus says, there is no happiness in my disciples. There is no happiness in living a life that asserts your position over others. Happiness comes when you step down, when you are grounded, when you become the servant of others. The happy life of discipleship is rooted in humility. But Jesus also talks about holiness. The life of a disciple, the life of being happy according to Jesus, is based in humility. It is also based in holiness. Listen to the fifth or the fourth and the sixth beatitude. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Happy are those who are pure in heart. These two beatitudes teach us that the happy person has a deep sense of holiness. Some people in this world would laugh, scoff at this teaching. There's the idea in the world, how is happiness related to holiness? According to the way the world thinks of happiness, these two things seem to be opposite. Who wants to be holy? Our world says that happiness is almost the very opposite of being holy. I heard about a man who went to Las Vegas, and when he returned, he was asked, "Did you enjoy it?" And he said, "Yeah, it was fun," he says, "but I sure wish I could have spent a week there before I became a Christian. Then it really would have been fun," he said. That's the idea, right? That's the message, right, from the world, that this idea of fun and holiness are at opposite ends of the spectrum. But think about what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says sin is not the way to happiness. The way of the world is not the way of happiness. If you want a happy marriage, be cautious of infidelity. Be cautious of bitterness. Be cautious of alcoholism. If you want happiness in your job, stay away from being immoral. Watch your tongue of being deceitful, dishonest. Jesus is very clear that according to the Beatitudes, sin leads to unhappiness. Holiness leads to happiness. Remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 51. "Oh, wash me, cleanse me, that I shall be white as snow. I have sinned against thee, O God. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." According to the psalmist and according to Jesus, happiness comes through forgiveness, cleansing, pure in heart, holiness. The other thing I see here in the Beatitudes, the other category Dr. Dahoney describes, is that of being helpful. A disciple, a happy person, is a helpful person. The fifth and the seventh Beatitudes teach us, happy are the merciful. Happy are the peacemakers. In other words, happy, discipled, are the people who offer mercy, who create peace in life. These people are much more about giving than they are about taking. Helpfulness. They give mercy. They offer forgiveness. They share understanding more than focused on receiving. Let me ask you this morning, how much mercy have you received in your life? Think about that. How much mercy have you received in your life? We've all received mercy in so many different ways. We've received mercy from others. We've received mercy from our friends and from our family, from our coworkers, from those in the church. But no matter how much mercy we have received from other people, think about the mercy we have received from God. See, the Beatitudes challenge us to give that mercy as we have received it, to accept what Christ has done for us and to share that mercy and that love with others. Jesus is so clear. If you want to know what it means to be my disciple, if you want a happy, meaningful, purposeful life, you will find it in being helpful. Happy is the person who gives of himself or herself more than focusing on what is received. Finally, the last two Beatitudes speak to us about being hopeful. Hopeful. Jesus teaches us that disciples, happy people, are those who are focused on the good that God is working toward. Hopeful people. Jesus says, happy, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed, happy are those who are insulted and persecuted and lied about because of their faith in me. In other words, these people are happy not because of their present circumstances, but in spite of them. Their hope, their happiness, their blessedness, their discipleship, their life of faith is rooted in the goodness of God. There's even that reference to the prophets of old. Think about what they experienced in life. Scripture says Jeremiah was scourged. Isaiah was, quote, torn asunder. Zechariah was stoned. We move to the New Testament. Peter was crucified. John was exiled. Paul died for his faith in an excruciating manner. There's no doubt that according to Scripture and according to the teachings of Jesus, life will not always be pleasant. It will not always be what we want it to be. But Jesus is very clear. That does not hinder happiness. That does not hinder joy. It does not keep us from journeying on the life of faith to which God has called us to live. Jesus says the happy person is one who goes through those persecutions and difficulties looking at life with a hopeful attitude. In other words, no matter what is happening in our world today, it is the hope that gives us a new and different perspective. There's a wonderful old Yiddish story about a man who lived in a one-room hut with his mother, his wife, and six children. The hut was filled, as you can imagine, with crying and quarreling and noise and chaos all the time. It was noisy. It was stressful. It was a hard place to live. One room with all of these people trying to live in it. One day he simply felt like he couldn't take it. So he went to his rabbi and he said, "Rabbi, things are bad and they're getting worse. I live in a one-room house with my mother and with my wife and with six children. It's so crowded. It's so noisy. Help me find some peace, Rabbi. I'll do whatever you say." Let me just pause here for a moment. Don't tell a minister that, right? That's a dangerous thing to tell a minister. Anyway, he told his rabbi, "I'll do whatever you say." Rabbi said, "Okay, do you have a chicken?" The man said, "Yes, I do." The rabbi said, "Take the chicken and bring it inside to live with you and the rest of the family." "Okay," he said. So the man went back and got the chicken, brought it back into his one-room hut. You can imagine that just increased the stress and chaos. So a couple of days later, he goes back to the rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, things are getting worse." He said, "Tell me what to do. What can I do?" So the rabbi says, "Do you have a goat?" "Yes, I have a goat." "And invite the goat to come and live in your room with you." Again, stress, chaos. The man goes back to the rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, I can't take this. What should I do?" He says, "Do you have a cow? Invite the cow into your one-room hut." And the man says, "Okay." And he goes back, and he can only stand it for one day. And he comes back to the rabbi, and he says, "The world is coming to an end. I can't deal with this. This is too much for me. What do I need to do?" And the rabbi says, "Go home now, my friend, and let the animals out of your hut." So the man rushes home, and he did so. And that night was the sweetest, most relaxing, peaceful night he had ever experienced. And the next day, he saw the rabbi in the street and he said, "Rabbi, you made my life so sweet for me. With just my family in the hut, it is so quiet, so roomy, so peaceful." Perspective. Perspective. Here at the beginning of this year, as we read these words about what it means to be a disciple, about what it means to be a happy, joyful, contented, satisfied person, let us hear and focus on Jesus' message in the Sermon on the Mount. For it is this: we can be happy. We should be happy. God wants us to be makarios, blessed, satisfied, content. Not as the world thinks of happiness, no, but happy as Jesus describes it, as a blessed person, as one who looks with a new perspective on the blessings of God and the hope for the future. For today and in the coming weeks, here is our perspective. Jesus teaches happy, blessed, content, satisfied is the person who is humble, holy, helpful, and full of hope. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you have given us so much. And we're reminded this morning that often our focus and our attention turns to the difficulties of life, to the stresses, the challenges, the hardships. Lord, help us to understand this year what it means to be a blessed, happy person. Help us this year, Lord, as we focus in an intentional way on discipleship, to have a new perspective on what it means to be a follower of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lead us and guide us, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our hymn of response today is hymn number 15. It is "Come, Thy Fount of Every Blessing," a wonderful hymn as we continue to begin this new year. Make these words your prayer, and as always, respond as God leads. Let's stand together as we sing hymn number 15. What a wonderful day to be in God's house. I'm so glad that you are here today. If you're visiting with us, we certainly hope you can come back again. We're so pleased that you're here. If you're a regular attender, member, as always, we're so glad that you've joined us for worship today. Lots of things, as you've already heard, are starting back in the life of our church. Wednesday evening prayer service this week. Hope you can come back as we begin this new year, thinking about what it means to be a disciple. Come join us this Wednesday evening. Also, if you're a deacon, tonight is our first deacons meeting of the year, but just wanted to mention, it's in a different place. It'll be in a Sunday school classroom right below the sanctuary here. So I hope you can come. Should be a really good meeting today as we begin this new year together as a deacon body and church. Pray you receive God's blessings today and you take them with them and they impact everything you say and do throughout this coming week as we take this year to focus on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Join me as we pray together. As you leave this place today, may you never be too young to respond to God's word, nor too old that you would ignore it. May you never be too shy to follow God's commands, nor too bold that you would refuse them. May you never be too busy to do God's will, nor too lazy to try. But may God take us as we are and fill us with faith and courage that every day of our lives, we would ask ourselves the question, what does it mean to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? For we make this our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.